We actually had a tie for first place. We had, funnily enough, the same book and from the same community, but two very different interpretations. So both from Gullywinkle on Elko Island. They did a couple of things, actually, a little acting out a story for the school assembly and also a multimedia presentation of it. And then the FAFT program, which is Families with First Teachers, sort of a preschool program there, and they made little, not quite a puppet show, but made little clams, and it sounds like theirs expanded quite a bit. They started with just making a little photo story, and then someone wrote a song, and then someone animated the song, and it became quite a big deal. The judges were very impressed with all of the entries, but those two in particular, so they shared the first prize.
And can you talk about the story that won?
It's a funny little story. It's not actually originally from the area. It's imported from somewhere else. I'm not even sure where, but it's a story of three clams living in the ocean, and they talk to each other, and it's just quite a cute, silly little story. But apparently it's one that's quite popular among the kids at Gullywinkle, so they wanted to use that one for the competition.
And can you just talk a bit about the name of the story?
The story is, my pronunciation won't be great, but it's Ding, Dang and Dong.
Yeah.
That's the name of the three clams.
So it's really interesting. I guess if you could explain a bit more about the competition and the scope of applications that you're asking for the comp.
We made it very wide, so anyone in Australia could enter. It doesn't have to be school students, it could be anyone. And all they had to do was select a story from the Living Archive of Aboriginal Languages and bring it to life in some way. So whether that was animating it, acting it out, doing a song, just recording someone reading it and adding it to the pictures. And we got quite a range of entries from all over, including all those things. Some were just, one was a teacher reading the story. There's a video of her reading the story directly from the book. One was a PowerPoint with a narration of the story being read over the pictures and the text from the book. There were some ones using iBook Author for iPads, which were quite animated in quite a lot of detail. Some learnt how to use particular animation software, and the kids all did different things to put it together. There was a really wide range, from mostly from the communities where the books originated, but that wasn't required. The only thing we did require was that people got permission from someone who was involved in the original story to do it, because we wanted to maintain the connections between the stories and the story owners. And so we made that one of the requirements, which meant that there were more entries from community schools, but still some from other places where they made contact with the communities and got the permissions from the appropriate people there.
And part of the brief for the competition was that they had to be in a traditional or First Nations language. So
yes, books in the archive are all in language, and so it required someone who could read the language or speak the language to be involved in it. And that's one of the things we wanted to maintain. A lot of the books in the collection have English translations, but we wanted to really promote the use of Indigenous languages as well.
It's an exciting time for languages now in Australia, for First Nations languages, as you know, that in some states, you know, they're starting to bring through languages through the curriculums.
Mm.
For a lot of communities that you're working with, English is maybe a third or fourth language, even more than that. It's an exciting time for people living in more sort of rural and city environments, because there's an opportunity coming up, I think, in the future for more people to learn language. So as far as the multimedia application, where do you hope that you can take this in the future, if that's the case, as far as people having the opportunity to learn more in language and to hear the stories and see the stories?
Well, the stories we've collected for our archive were mostly from the bilingual education programs in a lot of remote schools around the Northern Territory back from the 1970s and 80s. And since not many schools are still doing bilingual education, the books aren't being used anymore. So we wanted to make sure they were still available and accessible. So that's why we've digitised them and put them online. But as just books, they don't have the audio with them, and that's really lacking. So a lot of people who can hear the language, but they can't necessarily read it. So the competition was a way of getting people to create recordings and make the books more dynamic through whatever processes they wanted to use. And that's one of the things we certainly hope to get people to do more of, to engage with the stories by taking them and doing something interesting with them, with the permission of the story owners. So there are schools in some communities which have got audio tapes, sometimes from when the story is originally told. Sometimes they've got recordings and they've used them in the classroom. No, because our project doesn't have the capacity to create lots of digital recordings. We were hoping to sort of crowdsource that and get people out in communities to do that with us and add the audio, which just brings a much richer dimension to the written stories that are on our collection. And also gives the kids the opportunity to learn some IT skills. There's all sorts of things they can do with iPads, take them out and record grandma telling a story and add the pictures that might be in the stories in the archive as well, and even hear some of the stories about the background to those traditional tales.
It's really interesting because I guess for the kids, as far as their education, it also opens doors for plans for the future in multimedia and IT.
Exactly, yeah. And language is such a rich area. As I say, a lot of the schools don't use bilingual education anymore, but they're still speakers of the language. And so if they go to school and it's all in English, then having access to these books and these materials, which value that language and show that, you know, there are fantastic stories written in these languages and they're still vibrant and alive. And so getting them to engage with that, and even non-Indigenous teachers who might not speak the language can get elders from the community to come in and talk about them. And even schools around Australia, which may not have connection with those communities, can still use the resources and maybe make contact with the community and find out a bit more about it and build connections there.